Diving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We are scrubbing in.
Scrub-a-dub-dub in the tub-tub-tub. How's it going, Becca Tilley?
I was going to continue with this song, but I got vulnerable.
Got scared?
Got a little
scared. Cat got your tongue?
Yeah. How are you?
I'm actually doing okay, you know?
Doing okay. Just getting by.
You know, I'm a very different person today than I was just 2 weeks ago.
1 to 10, how are you doing?
5.5.
Oof.
Six. Just we're on the up halfway. Today. Yeah.
Just over halfway decent.
How are you?
I'm great.
One to ten.
1 to 10, I'm like a 8.5, 9.
Wowza.
Yeah, but, you know, I woke up with this renewed sense of energy. I have felt, honestly, I felt like I've just been in a slump and, like, motivation to work. And just, I've kind of felt like, you know, in the social media aspect of my job and work and stuff, I felt kind of deflated because it's such a competitive world. And
it I also think everybody's feeling, you know what I mean? Like, you're not
far off. I'm not far off, but I do feel like, you know, I was just kind of living in this slump instead of actually doing something about it. You know, I feel like you're the type who you get in a slump and then you're like, well, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to do what
I need. That's what I'm currently in right now. Okay, I'm like doing the work to get through it and it's slumpy.
So I just sit in a slump. I'm just like in quicksand, just like, so like I'm not really going down further, but I'm not trying to get out.
Right.
So
it's not quick. It's like slow sand.
Yeah, it's mud.
Yeah, okay. Mud what some would say.
So basically, you know, when you walk, you like go through mud and you're wearing shoes and your foot comes out of the shoe and then you have to go back at the shoe. It's like that.
Yeah.
But I think we had a conversation on Saturday when we had dinner together and you were saying like, sometimes you got to do it yourself. And it really just struck a chord with me where I was like,
wow,
I really have to just do it myself. Like I can't rely on things to just fall in my lap without doing the work or putting in the effort. So I woke up with that sense of like, you know what? My whole perspective on this year has been like, I think everyone's perspective has been, it's been a horrible year, like ready for 2020 to go away. But I was thinking about this actually when I was in Vermont and all the leaves were changing and they were like beautiful colors. And the reason why they change that color is because they're dying and they're going into a new season. And I was thinking sometimes this growth and this change is so beautiful. And that's what makes it beautiful. I mean, like the change that happens as you're growing and as like you're shifting into a new season is like a really powerful time when you look back on it. So I'm kind of in that perspective.
I love that.
I'll see if I'm still there next week, but this
I'll check in on you. I can help keep you accountable for sure. Cause I think I'm in that slump and I'm like currently working through. Are you crying? Oh, okay. I was like, are we good?
I have like allergies. So oh. Like,
I'm currently working through the slump right now. And trying to be super proactive about it because I think that for so long, I mean, I've been talk about it on the podcast. I talk about it all the time that I have this like imposter syndrome and I really try and like combat it on my own. Mm-hmm. And I think I've kind of recently discovered that it's seeping into other aspects of my life, you know, like my relationship and other things where it's like this feeling of not being good enough. Mm-hmm. And it's something that's so deep rooted in me that I'm like starting to really realize like I need to just nip this in the bud now and like really do the work on myself to figure out where this is coming from. And like, almost like I just want to release it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to, it's like, I felt like I was like slowly chipping away at it. And it's like, now I just want it to be, I want it to release. Like, I don't want it anymore. And so I'm like really putting in the work, but it's exhausting. I'm tired. I'm journaling a ton. I'm like always in my head. I'm thinking about things like, but it's a great time too, because we have the time, like we're at home. And so I've been kind of in that, and like some days are really good and some days I'm okay. And like, you know, I'm going to get through this, figure this out. And some days are really bad and I'm crying and I'm sad and, but I'm going to get through it. I'm going to get through it.
Yeah.
Come out on the other end like a butterfly.
Do you think, I mean, I don't feel like I've battled imposter syndrome my whole life, but I definitely feel like I am experiencing it through comparison on social media and being like, what do I have to, do I even have anything to offer anyone? And it's so dumb because I have so, in my head, I'm like, I have so much to be grateful for. And like, if I were to list everything that I've been able to do and like what I get to do, and I get to do a podcast with my best friend. We're nominated for a third People's Choice Award. I have this amazing following and these people that I get to have connections with on social media, and who are honestly, I feel like they're to lift up and encourage us most of the time. There's a few bad apples, but I think it's just been learning to appreciate what I have, even in the midst of feeling like unsure of what the future looks like or what I'm doing with my life or feeling unmotivated or being stuck in the mud, whatever it is. So, I think it's just kind of having a perspective shift and then working on the thing. It's so uncomfortable to work on things that you need to work on.
Oh, okay. So I had my first therapy session last week. And it's so funny because I'm a self-motivator. I can really I look inward a lot and figure out what's going on with me. How do I self-motivate? I'm very good at doing that for myself, but I realized I was my hands are up. I really need to dig deeper. And so I was so uncomfortable because she was like, as I'm explaining these things and where these things came from in my career, right? And just the things that I was told, your personality is too much. People can't handle you in large doses. And, things like that. She's like, obviously that's going to have an impact on the way that you view yourself. You know what I mean? And she's like, but then it trickles from that into all these other aspects of your life. And then she starts asking me all these questions. And I just broke down because I was just like, whew.
Do you feel like your imposter syndrome in your career has made you seek, whether it's validation and words of affirmation or just validation in general from your relationship, your friendships? Do you feel like you've been told these negative things about yourself, so you go to the other people and the other relationships in your life to be like, I need support. I need encouragement. I need you to make me feel like I'm great because I don't feel great.
I think it's almost too why I am so encouraging of other people, mm-hmm. because I didn't have that necessarily for myself. You know what I mean? So it's I want to be proactive and be the change for somebody else.
Yeah.
But it is interesting because I'm just starting, it's you really start to peel back the layers and you're just whoa. And we're all it's so weird because it's we're all dealing with it in these weird different ways, you know?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we've had more, I guess I should speak for myself. I've had so many difficult conversations that I would have never had I not been pushed to the limits I've been pushed to, and almost in the best way, conversations that I needed to have. I avoid tough conversations at all costs. Sometimes all I would need to do is pick up the phone, have a conversation, hash it out with someone, and instead I let it sit to where then it becomes this huge deal for me to have this simple conversation of just saying hey, we need to talk about this.
Yeah.
And I would have never had these conversations or learned and unlearned the things I did if I literally wasn't pushed up against the wall. You got to do it or you're.
Yeah. I think I am not one. I love a serious conversation. I love to just if something's bothering me, I just spew it out right then and there. But I think what was happening, and I mean, it's no secret, I have not been in a serious relationship with somebody in a very long time. So I was kind of having this, and I'm in, the situation that I'm in is not, it's not the easiest of circumstance. You know what I mean? There's a divorce and there's kids involved. And so it's I had this moment where I kind of had this breakdown. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it takes a breakdown to have a breakthrough.
I was hoping you'd say that.
It's true though, because yeah. It just all kind of hit me and I was like, this is not anybody's thing except for my own. So I was like, I want to figure it out what's going on in here, and then I can move forward, mm-hmm. in a better way.
Because mm-hmm. I mean, I think when you're in a relationship, it takes both people working on themselves so that they can work together.
Right.
Yeah.
heavy, you know. Welcome. Happy Monday. Welcome to the therapy session of the week. Hope everybody's doing okay.
Yeah. You know, it's just an introspective weekend.
For sure. I know. And I did Matthew Hussey's retreat. So that was like part of it as well. Where I was just like thinking a lot. And then I met with my, my mentor, who is somebody that like literally can breathe and speak life into me when I'm like gasping for air. Mm-hmm. So that kind of was like what I really needed. And I don't know. So on the up.
We're on the up here at Scrubbing In.
Oh, and by the way,
what
I wanted to tell you. So I was away. You came in. We had dinner on Saturday night. Yeah. But before that, there's this girlfriend who met us at the pool that day. Uh-huh. And she was talking about like wanting, she's single and she's like wanting to, you know, get out there, but doesn't know how in quarantine. And I was like, God, you know what? Like, I know, let's like figure this out. There's this hot group of guys at the pool that was like across the pool from us. And maybe they were like at a bachelor party or something. Uh-huh. 'Cause it was kind of a larger number than I feel like men hang out in, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I was like, look at that. I was like, is there anybody in there that tickles your fancy? Is there one of them that you find attractive? And she was like, oh, maybe that one, you know, with the hat or whatever. And I was like, go over there and let's do the Robert Graham thing. Mm. You know, like stay 6 feet apart. Let's go over there. Like just, are you friends with Robert Graham? You look so familiar, blah, blah. She was like, well, what if they don't, you know, what if they don't know I did it? And then I'm like, what if they're married? Then, okay, oh, that must not be you. Bye. You know, no harm, no foul. But like she couldn't do it.
I mean, it's a bold move to walk. I mean, I even would say it's a bold move to walk up to someone and do that.
Stay 6 feet away and we're outside by a pool.
I'm not talking about.
Oh, just
that,
in general?
On top of that, just the sheer ballsiness that it takes to go up to a stranger when you're single and you're like the one who's interested. Like I walked up to that guy in the park because I had, you know, right. I'm in a relationship. So I wouldn't feel rejection if like it didn't go well. But for someone who is in the dating game to go up, not everyone has the balls like you do.
Balls. I have big balls. If I were a guy, I'd have 3 balls.
You'd have a 3rd ball.
I think I would.
I think that's a medical condition you'd have to get taken care of.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she'd have some.
I'd have big ones. Actually, I feel like balls are all the same size.
I don't think that's true.
No?
I don't think that's true even on one person.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Worth an investigation
I
of
like
sorts.
Your eyebrows, they're just like a little different most of the time. One little difference.
Huh.
But it does take a lot to go. I remember in college going up to a girl named Wendy that I thought was just stunning in my comm arts class. And she was in the front row and the aisle went right up. So if you walk straight up the aisle, you kind of ran right into where she was sitting. So it's like, damn it, I'm going to do it. So I walked up to her and I was like, hey, how's it going? Hi, I'm Mark. I was wondering if you'd like to have lunch with me. She's like, I have a boyfriend. Like, she couldn't have said it faster. And I don't know if she did. I don't think she did. It was just like, get this guy away from me as quickly as possible. And here it is, many years later, that's still burned into my brain. So it is a lot to go up and ask somebody out or just start talking to them.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, but it's like, I've been rejected before and I just like, just kind of plow on through.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not everyone has the 3rd ball to do that, to plow on through.
Just got to keep on plowing, you know? It might not be your corn. You just got to keep on shucking until you get to the maze.
I loved it, like walking up to a girl and trying to ask her on a date and watching her like try to find the words to politely reject me. Just like, oh, that's so nice, but I think I have to volunteer at a soup kitchen all the time. That was very entertaining for me.
I feel like the most like rejection I've ever done, because I've always been too scared to just be like, oh, I'm not interested, you know, which in my head would be the nicest way to do it. Like, you seem really great. I'm not interested right now, or I'm not interested, whatever. But instead I would get their number and then I would have to just ignore, which is almost worse than just being told straight to the face of like, hey, no.
Yeah.
And I'm not that interested. It hurts no matter what.
I know. I always gave my number no matter what. Like, you just always gave my number.
The amount of people that just have my number that are probably so many creeps in like the bars and stuff because I couldn't say no.
Me too. For sure.
But then it's so funny because girls are so, like, we say that, and then we're like, but he should come up to me and talk. But then they do, and we're...
It's not necessarily that.
What?
Like, I don't mind being the first one to approach, but I want him to ask me to dinner. You know what I mean?
Right, but I think majority...
Like, I'll pee on you, so you know I want you, but I want you to, like, ask me out.
Yeah, you'll mark your territory.
Exactly.
A way to break the ice.
I'll pee on it. It always comes back to the urinary tract, you know?
No, it doesn't. It didn't have to. You force it to go back to the UTI.
I know, because I always have pee on the brain.
It's so strange. How
I know.
Awesome.
I know. I'm starting to log how often I pee every day.
Oh, my God.
Wait, how many are you up to today? What's the count?
6. So I'm supposed to be peeing. But I drink a lot of water. So you're supposed to be peeing like no more than every hour, like every hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. You're on track?
I don't know. I'll see at the end of the day.
Okay. We talk so much about that.
That's like 18 times a day if you're going every hour and
like,
a half.
Do we? Yeah.
You pee 18 times a day?
No, I'm saying an every hour and a half would be 18 times a day.
We'll see.
But you don't pee during the middle of the night.
I do not pee in the middle of the night.
Oh,
no,
I'm
no.
so jealous of that.
I think it's a mental thing, Ben, that you're peeing this much.
I like the idea of the Tanya Rad edition of Calling in the One has an extra page to mark what time you're peeing. the extra page of the workbook.
You know, though, I was watching Hannah Brown's story yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
This was actually, I thought, very bold. And she said it was her bold move of the day, which I don't know if that's something she's doing regularly. But she crossed paths with a guy and they smiled at each other. And so she knew what his, like, she saw what car he got out of. So she wrote a note and she said, "Hi, I'm Hannah. I was in a pink dress. We smiled at each other when we walked by. Here's my number or something." And she left it.
She left it. Wait, we should ask her to come on and see if he ever followed up.
So then at the end of the night, she said she had either had drinks with a guy and it went really well or had been asked to go to drinks. And she was like, "You snooze, you lose." So he had like a 5-hour window and then she was, I think,
she's already over it. Oh, jeez.
But I did think, like,
tough crowd.
That was a pretty bold move for her to just, I don't know, not know if he was watching her and her drop a handwritten note on his windshield.
For sure. I've done that at the gym before.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
And?
Never called. But, like, whatever. Plow on through.
I would love to be so unfazed by just, like, that would be something that would just stay in my head for too long. Mm-hmm. It would live rent-free for too long.
Don't you remember, Mark? This was he was at my boxing. It was at my boxing gym.
This does ring a bell.
Yeah.
There were so many guys in Tanya's life for a minute. It was like we had Whole Foods, Wilshire, Butterfly. What was Screen Time?
Oh, yeah. D.
D.
Yeah. D. Yeah. Never saw the D, though.
Okay,
but it was big.
Tanya's in a mood.
Allegedly,
today.
Yeah, she's like turning this into an R-rated show.
Hey, I hate to interrupt the fun and shenanigans. We got a live show coming up. We need to talk about that as soon as we possibly can.
I was going to. I was going to say we could. I was going to tease it and then.
Dad.
Sorry, it's not from this parent, but I'm getting nudged by other parents.
I was going to say, we have a live show coming up, and we'll be back with the details after we take this break. All right, so like we said before the break, we have a virtual event coming up. It's for the People's Choice Awards. It's not a voting party as we've done in the past. This is like basically just celebrating the fact that we're part of the PCAs.
However, because you know Tanya had to get in there and say, "Guys, we still have to win this thing." So what we're doing is the first 100 scrubbers to show that they voted 25 times for the People's Choice Award Best Pop Podcast, your ticket is on us. So all you have to do is just follow @scrubbinginpod. Post it on your Instagram feed, not your story, and then show that you voted with the hashtags #ScrubbersChoice and then the #contest. So
So just to reiterate, first 100 scrubbers to do that, come to the virtual podcast, the virtual live show for free.
Correct. And that's 100 scrubbers plus 25 votes. So that's 2,500 votes.
That was great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, the date is November 13th, which is a Friday. So we can party until the wee hours. It's at 5 p.m. Pacific time. So 8 p.m. Eastern. Okay. And also, it's very exciting because this will be our first virtual live mantle, which, you know, we love. We know that y'all love a mantle and we love a mantle.
I've been needing a mantle lately. Actually,
yeah,
I'd love to just get in the head of a man.
Yeah, we would.
Sorry,
love.
That was not even. I'm not even trying to be gross. Like, I'm just actually just curious.
It's just everything you say gets so like weirdly passionate. So go vote for us for Best Pop Podcast. Tag us in the photos with hashtag Scrubber's Choice and hashtag Contest and follow Scrubbing and Pod. And we literally cannot wait to see you there. It's going to be so fun.
Yeah. And then following shortly after, it will be the People's Choice Awards. And then we'll win that three-peat, baby!
So aggressive today.
Can you guys just give it to me? I'm on the up, you know? I'm on the up and up. I'm on the upswing. If you saw me 2 days ago, I was on a down spin.
I know.
You actually did see me 2 days ago.
Yeah, I was like... I know. I thought you were being literal. We did see each other 2 days ago.
Correct.
All right. This is a very exciting topic, actually, for the both of us. So I made a vision board at the beginning of the year, which, you know, it was my first. Did I ever make one with you?
Yes.
I did?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. It was my second vision board, and I am still like, I would need to find that first one because I would like to see what's happened.
I don't know if you actually, like, I know we did it together. I definitely made one. I don't know if you, like, actually did it.
I don't think I did.
Okay.
So I made my first vision board by myself at the beginning of 2020. Little did I know what was coming, but still. I made one with Haley, and when we were doing the vision boards, we just were, you know, cutting out magazines, and one of them was a travel magazine, and there was this cabin in the woods, and I was like, oh my God, that place looks amazing. I'd love to stay somewhere like that. And I had no idea where it was located or anything. So the other day, Haley and I had just finished working out, and she brings over my vision board and she goes, look at this house that's on your vision board. And so I was like, I looked at it and I was like, that's the house that we just stayed in Vermont. So I had no idea. I've always wanted to go to Vermont in the fall. It's been like my dream because of the leaves and it just looks magical. And this year I was so ready to get out of the LA heat and go get some fall crisp air. And we found this amazing cabin. And the whole time we were like, how was that available for us? Because it was basically booked out for the rest of the year. And it just happened. It was like the busiest weekend in Vermont or in Stowe that weekend. And we were so excited that we got that place was open for the time that we were going to be there. It was the exact same cabin that I put on my vision board.
Like, it's not even that it was, it looked similar. Kind of like it or like it. It was the exact cabin you stayed in, which is quite insane.
And I had no idea. Like,
And your vision board isn't like my vision board is up in my kitchen. I see it every single day. Like, yours isn't just like out for display. You made it and you put it away. And you don't look at it often. Right. So it wasn't just like an image that you had when you were like, you know, Googling where to stay or whatever.
Exactly. So when I didn't even find it. Laura found it. And so when I literally felt like I was levitating. I was like, what else can I manifest for my life?
Isn't that wild? That's why I make them all the time. Cause it's like, there's just something so like when it happens, it's like this weird feeling where you're like, oh,
I know.
My gosh.
It really it made me realize the significance of putting things out there and writing them down and creating these things where you're saying, I want this for my life.
And I also think though too, it's like some things that I put on my vision board maybe 5 years ago may have just happened this year. Do you know what I mean? I think sometimes it's important too that they're like, it's not all going to happen that year. That's what you want. You know, you put that down, but it's not necessarily just going to happen right then and there.
I also put make $1 million on there, which has not happened. yet.
The year's not over.
Next months have some big plans for me financially. But I even at this point was wanting to, like during this reset of how I'm feeling and wanting to be motivated again, was thinking about making a vision board of like, you know, people, things I want to do in work and who I want to work with and just goals, because I can't even tell you the feeling I had when the realization hit. It was the coolest thing.
That's crazy.
For all those who are like me, who are not like a Tanya and have had kind of just like roll your eyes when we talk about vision boards, I'm a believer now. It happened.
I know. I actually want to revisit my old ones and just see what's like come, you know?
Yeah.
Like from my old, like old ones.
Yeah. And one of the other things is like optimize my health. And I've like, you know, been focusing on working out 3 times a week. It's just like little things here that I put down as like goals, and I've accomplished some of them. Mm-hmm. So it's been cool. It was cool.
There's so much power.
For anyone else, Easton, Mark?
The question is, do we do these things? Because we do not.
Have you ever written down goals or like things that you want to see happen? No. And it's no?
I write down things that I need to do today, and then I cross them off the list, and then I throw it in the garbage.
That's called a to-do list.
I do that. I do a to-do list.
Yeah. Okay, a to-do list.
I don't write anything down, but something I heard an interview with a guy like 15 years ago, and he was talking about like, you know, like things you can do that take less than 5 minutes to like motivate you or like change your life. And one of them was, when you're picturing a goal, you don't picture like the broad achievement of the goal, you picture something very specific moment. So it's like, instead of going like, I'm going to be a doctor someday, you think about like how it's going to feel getting your medical degree, like actually them handing you the degree and graduating and seeing everyone wearing the cap and gown and stuff like that. And that's something I've done a lot in my life, and it's been very helpful for me. Like a lot of those very small moments ended up coming true, like getting a fake crown from a movie theater. That was something that I wanted, and it happened.
Yeah.
It happened. Like in all seriousness, I did visualize that happening, and it happened. stuff like that. So I don't make like a physical vision board, but I think I do a version of it.
You do a mind vision board.
That's right. It's all up here.
Mm-hmm. I don't think
that brain's got a lot in there. I know it does.
I've done a lot of visualizing, and I don't think any of the things I've visualized have ever come true. But
maybe yours doesn't work through your thoughts, and you need to write it down.
But I take comfort in that, because I know I'm not psychic. So then if I have a really negative thought, I know that won't come true either.
So this, I just realized it's happened to me before, but it wasn't a vision board. I wrote down when I was working at the chiropractor's office in San Diego. This is before Bachelor and everything. I wrote that I wanted to travel the world. And the instructor was just like, literally write down whether it feels achievable or not, write down just anything. And I wrote that I wanted to travel the world. And like shortly after that, I got the call to go on The Bachelor, which ironically, we stayed in the U.S. the whole time, except for we did go to Bali. But after that, being on the show, I've had the opportunity to travel around the world. And I was like, that's so crazy, because I wrote that down with the intention of like, this feels far-fetched, but they said, you know, put it down there. And mm-hmm. It was always my goal. I would always have a background of like somewhere magical that I wanted to see on my computer. And those were all my pinned, like Pinterest boards were like travel sites. So
I know Pinterest. I never got into Pinterest, but it feels like such a Tanya thing.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
I know. Brad's always just like, how do you not have a Pinterest board? And I'm like, I know.
I feel like your whole life you would have like organized into Pinterest boards.
I know.
It might be best that you don't have one of those.
It would take up a lot of time.
Yeah, well. And
maybe get me out of my thoughts right now.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe start one now. Can we do some emails when we come back? Because I feel like I just love when people write in and ask for our advice.
For sure.
Okay, great. We'll take a break and we'll be right back with some emails. All right, we're back. And just so you know that I teased Chris Carmack that he was going to be on today's episode, but it's actually next week's episode. So we get to talk to him and his wife, Erin, and they're just the cutest. So get excited for that.
If you're wondering who is Chris Carmack, you may know him as Link
on Grey's
Anatomy. An orthopedic surgeon from Grace Sloan Memorial. And he's an orthopedic surgeon, right?
Yeah. And also he was on Nashville and he was on the OC, which I was going to, I don't know if you remember him from the OC, but he's
I
been
do
on
not.
Some iconic TV shows.
I watched the OC. Who was he on the OC?
He was like Marissa's boyfriend. Like while she was like, you know, going, but she was dating him in the first season.
Oh, right.
I don't like that. I don't like thinking of the Grey's actors in any other shows.
I know. I don't like that either. He's Link to me.
He was Luke. He was Luke
no.
in
Luke
the
from Luke to Link. Look that should him. Be his memoir. Oh. I wonder how old he was when he did the OC.
He looks fantastic, if I do say so myself.
I kind of agree. He looks like a bucking 22.
2003 through 2008, he was on the OC. So he was probably 23?
All right.
Something like that.
Great career.
I started Vampire Diaries.
How timely.
Does anyone watch that? Huh?
How timely of you.
Why?
That show's 10 years
old.
The
show ended like 10 years ago. Well, honestly, that's what everybody's doing now. Everybody's like going back
that's
and watching
true.
All the old, yeah, like One Tree Hill and stuff.
Yeah, and everyone talks about how amazing Vampire Diaries is. And so I was like,
that show was beyond its time. Like it was something that wasn't at that time, didn't really exist. You know what I mean?
Well, wasn't it around the same time as Twilight? It was like a vampire. You remember the vampire
yeah.
thing was a big deal. And also, on another night, I started Breaking Bad, which is
ooh,
a very,
very timely.
Shift in.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everyone's always talked about how amazing it is.
And what
I
do you think?
It's really good, but it's weirdly intense, but there's this underlying humor about
yeah.
it. Yeah. They're amazing.
If you like the vibe, after you're done with that, go to Better Call Saul because it's.
Oh yeah, I did enjoy that.
Like, wait, you watched Better Call Saul?
Oh no, I didn't watch Better Call Saul. What did I watch? What did I watch?
I don't know what you watched.
That'd be a very Tanya move to watch Better Call Saul and not Breaking Bad.
Yeah, no, it was the one with Bill Hader.
Barry.
Barry.
Barry's great.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, mix that up here.
I find Breaking Bad so interesting because. It's this man who you feel so much empathy for going through something so devastatingly serious. And he's just in this impossible situation with this idiot kid who can't get it together. And I have a feeling he's going to drive me crazy the whole series.
I'm not going to say
am
anything.
I right?
Tanya, do you know the basic premise of Breaking Bad?
It's like a cocaine dealer or something?
Well, he's a genius chemistry teacher. High school chemistry teacher, brilliant guy, and is diagnosed with cancer. And he realizes, crap, I'm a teacher at a high school. I got nothing to leave my family. And then he realizes, as a brilliant chemist, I could make the greatest crystal meth in the world. And so he recruits this high school kid who he knows is a drug dealer, and they start working on that together. So he'll have something to leave his family.
It's emotional,
right up my alley.
No, you've surprised me with some of the things you like. So I
really
think you'd like it, yeah.
What are you watching with Red Star right now? It is not up your alley.
That's true, and it's so good. My God, why can't I think of any?
Yellowstone?
No, it's the movie. It's the Little Dickie show.
Dave.
Yeah, that's not really up your alley the way
I think. It's not,
of
but it's. I think the reason why I like it is because it's about Little Dickie's life, and he's a musician, so that side of it I'm really enjoying. Not so much the male humor.
There's a lot of like pop music in it and stuff like that. I think you've met most of these people. So
yeah. So that's what I'm enjoying.
Speaking
about
of those people that you enjoy so much, your thoughts on Bieber on Saturday Night Live this weekend?
I thought it was great.
You didn't see it?
No, I did.
All right. No, I feel like a lot of people are talking about the Lonely performance.
Yeah. I like the song. I like Holy a lot. Mm-hmm.
Well, what are they? I saw the performance. What are they talking about?
Just how emotional and raw it was.
Oh yeah, I mean it was. I feel like he.
I think Tanya's
really
kind of
like,
done with Justin Bieber though, and
wow.
I respect that.
It's not that I'm done.
Wow.
I've been waiting for this day for a long time, actually.
No, that day is not here. I'm a Justin Bieber stan, but yeah, it didn't shake me to my core.
Okay.
You like Holy better than Lonely though, right? Is that what it, that's
yes.
Okay.
I like that too. I like Holy too. I was dressed up like a dude yesterday for like a Halloween thing with Allie, and I posted that I thought I looked like Justin Bieber, and the amount, I have never gotten so many compliments about how I looked handsome more than I did when I was dressed as a guy yesterday, and everyone was saying I looked like Dean, and so I told Dean, and he was like, I hate that, thanks.
I hate that, thanks.
And I was like, you know what? Just take the compliment and move on.
That's so weird. I had a Dean thing happen to me yesterday, too.
Oh, what kind of
lucky
Dean?
You.
Was that he looked like Dean?
No. I was ordering, and how weird is this? I was ordering a new filter for my shower, and I ordered it, and it said ship to Dean Ungler with, like, his all of his information. I was like, did I ever send him a hair filter? Shower.
Honestly, when you had your like weird little crush on him, maybe you did. I could see that's a very Tanya thing.
It was so weird. I was like, no, please don't ship to or bill to Dean Ungler.
That's
thing.
So weird.
His response was even funnier than I thought. I said, everyone said I look like you. And he goes, that's the worst news I've gotten all of 2022 BH. But should I be offended by that?
No.
Because like, it's my face.
Yeah, but you're a woman.
Yeah, but all I did was add some facial hair and a wig.
Well, yeah, I would look like a dude if I did that too.
But you're telling him he looks like a woman in drag.
He has very feminine features.
He does.
I'll say that.
Yeah, he's beautiful. He's a beautiful man.
I don't know. Do you have feminine features?
He has like, his eyes are,
pull up a.
Yeah, he's got that soft nose, those kind eyes, that mile long smile.
It is so funny that he and Tanya went to a concert and Tanya was kind of feeling out that whole situation.
I know. It's the most bizarre thing.
You know, Tanya is a romantic and she saw the love story happening.
True.
As the bad boy who couldn't settle down, falling in love with her as the good girl looking for love.
And the one that was always just like, you know, I want to ask you out and you always just put me in the friend category. So I was like, okay, like I'll jump.
Let's jump together.
Let's jump together. Could not be more opposite of what
like,
I
imagine
need.
You know, he has really found his match because imagine you in a van, no shower.
Oh, my God.
No, like, no routine of my day. I'd be like, so we just wake up. We just wake up when we want to wake up? Like, what? No, thanks.
I love Dean, but I think Kaylin is his match, and I think he was not your match. And I'm his twin.
I kind of see it, actually, in this photo.
Yeah, I'm telling. Well, okay.
Like, hold on.
Everyone always said we looked like brother and sister.
I think it's the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the eyes. It's the eyes.
So anyways, that was true. It was his worst moment of 2020. It was one of my better moments.
Yeah, so shout out to Dean Ungler. Just
for being a beautiful man.
Human that we just love so much. Yeah.
Yeah, if you want a fun moment with Dean, you should listen to, there's a recent Help I Suck at Dating where Dean didn't show up and he went golfing instead. It's very funny.
Oh, that was good.
Did he just forget?
No, he knew. He knew.
That's a very Dean, Dean-like
we
move.
We texted him at noon and he said like, oh my gosh, F word, I'm so far from being available. Oh no, like, you know. And then he forgot that he had shared his location with me.
Oh.
So after like a half an hour of waiting for him to jump on, I check my Find My Friends and I see that he's at a golf course in Harupa, California. So I texted him and said, any way you could, duck into the pro shop and get on this? And he goes, pro shop? What are you talking about? I said, I see you're at a golf course. He said, oops.
That's so good.
And then he did jump on.
Best part of that podcast in months.
I was going to say, I mean, that is a great story for a podcast, like a great moment for a podcast that Mark was the one to discover his location.
The episode, which I believe Easton came up with the title, so you should seek it out, is Dean Unglert's Day Off.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Did he share his location with you for that reason? So kind of like how I did with Tanya, just to be held accountable?
No. Yeah. I think it was just a goofy thing we were talking about one day on the show.
Like Jared shared his with mine and Dean shared his with Mark. Dean can see mine, but I can't see his. I'd like to point out. That's where we're at.
Yeah, that's like me and Wells Adams, we have the same thing.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
All right, who wants to answer some emails?
Let's do it.
Only Becca, okay.
Oh, well, right. The first one's kind of a humdinger. Like
I have a hard time with both of these, to be honest with you. Actually, the second one's pretty easy, but the first one from Laura.
Tough.
My boyfriend and I have been together about a year. We just got out of a small apartment and moved into a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house. I was so excited to have a guest room. So when my family's in town, my mom has a room to stay in. I can so relate to what she just said. Having a guest room for the first time in your life is glorious.
Truly.
We've barely been there a week. His best friend came over one night, and my boyfriend called me outside, and his best friend asked if he could move in with us. I can't stand being put on the spot or to ever hurt someone's feelings. So I said yes. I'm more upset with my boyfriend because he should have pulled me to the side or had a conversation privately. Now I feel like I would be looked at as the bad guy for saying no when I already said yes. What would be a nice but serious way I can approach my boyfriend about my mixed feelings?
This is so something I would do. So I feel my stomach dropped when I read when I was reading the email with you. I am the worst when I'm put on the spot of being like, the nice person of doing something. Like, even I remember when I moved into my first place I wasn't going to have a roommate for the first time, and my sisters were moving back to LA or something, and they needed a place to stay. And I, of course, you know, I want to take care of them, especially as their older sister. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I remember thinking, like, I have been so excited to live by myself this whole time and to have an extra room and my own space. And obviously it worked out fine because they're family and it wasn't that awkward thing, but I totally relate to this. I would have a serious conversation with your boyfriend and say, hey, I've been thinking about this and I'm just feeling really uncomfortable about your friend moving in with us. Like, I wanted this to be our time. I wanted to have that guest room open for people to come visit in and out, not someone to stay there permanently, you know, at long periods of time. And just say, I felt really put on the spot the other day, and I said yes out of, you know, wanting to be nice and not wanting to upset anybody, but I really don't feel comfortable with it. And I really want you to be, you know, I want this to be like a partner decision.
See, I feel like she already said yes.
But he hasn't moved in.
But I think that you can kind of say, look, I felt put on the spot. You have to tell him. If you don't tell him, you're just going to fester and it's going to blow up in a different way. I think you should say, look, I thought I was put on the spot. I know I said your friend could live here. I don't really want that. But if he needs somewhere to stay, then he can stay here for 6 months. But like
6 months? No? Okay, no.
I would say just give him a timeline and just be like, after 6 months, like, he needs to find somewhere else to stay. Maybe 3 months, whatever you guys agree on. I don't know.
Okay, I think that's super generous. But I think that this is your
best friend.
Too.
Like, if okay, you and 95P move into a house, mm-hmm. and I am just rattled and rocked, and I sleep in your guest bedroom, and I'm just like, I don't know where to go. I don't have any, you know, can I live here? And you ask 95P and you're both like, yes. And then 95P comes and says, I really don't want Tanya staying here.
I would say, hey,
are you kick me out the next day?
No, but I didn't say I would kick you out the next day, but I would say, hey, if you need to stay here for like, I would say a month, and figure things out, that's plenty of time for someone to figure out a different situation.
I'd say two. We're in a pandemic.
Look, my first thought was to give it a deadline too, but he's moving in. He's not stay. Can I stay with you for a little while is different than can I move in with you?
Right, he's but we don't know the circumstance. What if he...
It doesn't matter. He's moving in. It's not, can I just crash on your couch for a couple of weeks? Then you put a deadline on it. But I'm moving in. I think you go to your boyfriend and you say, look, you put me on the spot. I'm not going to be the bad girl in this situation. This is your situation. You got us into this. Now you get us out of this. It's not going to be on me. You figure this out, but he is not living here.
Did you say it's your situation?
I didn't, but I wish I had.
Yeah.
I heard that too.
I agree. I don't think it's fair that this is put on her. It's not her best friend. It's her living with two guys now, which is like not what she psyched out. That's what she wanted. She had the guest room for her mom. That's what her vision was. And now she has her boyfriend's best friend crashing there, going to be in the kitchen, in the living room.
It's their first house.
Yeah. I know.
I would say, hey, I agree with Mark. Like, this is your buddy. I don't want to be the bad guy here, but I don't feel comfortable with this. And if it comes to y'all agreeing on, like, a time limit that works for you and you feel like you can make it through that time limit, give them that opportunity. But I think the 6-month idea is way too generous.
And is he living rent-free? And is he paying utilities? Is he doing anything?
That's what I was going to say. Also, is he going to split it? Is it going to be split 3 ways to where y'all are actually benefiting from him living there? Or is it this like a favor of like, hey, he's going to crash here? Let me just say, some resentment will build if he stays there longer.
It does not end well. I don't think this ends well at all. Yeah. Tanya's friendlier and more generous than I am. I don't want anybody under my roof.
I would have a conversation with 95P if Tanya needed a place to move in for a certain time and say, hey, I'd love to have you here. I realistically, it can't be permanent, but if you need to get back on your feet, like, I'm your best friend. I'm going to help you out.
Right. I feel like we're just like missing that what happened like to this man that he needs to live with them. You know what I mean? I feel like we're missing that piece of the puzzle.
But I still don't think it should be put on her.
No. Also, guy best friends are different than girl best friends. Girl best friends are like sisters. Guys are friends with losers. There's always losers in the bunch. And this is one of the losers. I'm telling you, girls are different than guys.
And I feel like girls.
It's so
like
true, though.
And like, you know, if I moved in with someone, I would spend, even when I had a roommate, I felt like I spent majority of my time in my room rather than like just taking over the living room and kitchen, you know?
The guy-girl dynamic with friends, though, is very interesting because I recently had this this conversation with Red Star about, I was like, well, who is your best friend, you know? And he was like, like, yeah. Like, well, I have some that like I've known longer. Like, this is so just, you know what I mean? Like, these ones are the ones I've known the longest since like childhood. And then these are the ones that I went to this with. And I'm like, not my question. But it's just different. It's like a totally different dynamic.
Totally different. Yeah. And they all have nicknames like, probably Uggo or the Stink. You know, like,
yeah. Yeah.
I do not want the Stink living with me. No.
And that's what I'm saying. He's going to move the Stink into the house. Guys' friends are embarrassments. Girls' friends are like their best friends. But guys are just like, oh, yeah, that's just him. He's like that.
That's so interesting.
Okay, here's another one. All right,
so good to know when Red Star's BFF needs to move in, you'll have him there for 6 months, pick up after him, do his chores.
Oh, it's all bad. He's not doing anything but sitting on that couch all day, every day, and drinking. Okay, this is from Lauren. About 1.5 years ago, I embraced the modern woman lifestyle and told my ex, who had been in my life for 10 years, he needed to stay out of my life. He was pretty bad to me all those years. Then came November. I wasn't looking for a relationship at all, and then my current boyfriend entered my life. I'm now in the most healthy relationship I didn't even think was possible. Fast forward to this week. My boyfriend and I were laying in bed, and my best friend called me and told me she was bartending when my ex's brother came in and dropped the bomb that my ex-boyfriend is going to be a dad. He knocked up his very new girlfriend. After getting off the phone, my boyfriend asked me what happened, so I told him. We started chatting about it, and I mentioned to him that I know my ex never wanted kids, especially not at 25 years old, and I hope he's doing okay. And then my boyfriend casually said to me, you should reach out to him, see if he's okay. That took me by surprise. So the question is, do I reach out?
First of all, let me just applaud your boyfriend for being secure in y'all's relationship that he said that he was big enough to say you should reach out if you're, you know, concerned about him in this situation. I don't know if you reaching out does anything beneficial for the ex. Like, I don't know if he needs to hear from you.
Yeah.
But if it's something that's going to, like, keep eating at you and you feel like you need to check in, because he was in your life for a decade, which is a significant amount of time, I would say text him and say, hey, I heard the news that you're going to be a dad, and I'm happy for you and just wanted to check in.
And awkward. Then
I hate it.
Awkward. Yeah, me too. Yeah, awkward.
No way.
No way.
What possible good comes out of that?
Right. So then he's going to be like, thank you so much. We should get tea. And then you're like, I don't really want to get tea.
Well, then she says No, I just wanted to reach out and check on you. I don't want anything else from it.
You guys don't know, like, guys at all. There's no guy who's going to ask her to tea. What is that?
Yeah, I mean, I just...
Sorry. Like, you want to go get a drink?
Yeah, there, maybe. At best. I mean, he's going to want to go. He's going to try to make out with her. Look, there are all kinds of problems here, and I don't trust the boyfriend, honestly. I think that on paper, that looks great, but there's something else there. There's an ulterior motive there. He's either testing you...
Yep, I totally agree.
Okay, no, let me tell you something. Confident. 95P wanted to reach out to an ex, and I said, go for it. There was no ulterior motive. It was just like, that's fine. If you feel like you need to reach out because of the way things ended, whatever, it's fine.
That's a good way to be, and you're good for doing that. But you're also a woman. And I think it's different. When a guy does that, there's ulterior motives. It might be that the ex is a total loser, and he's like Mr. Successful, wearing a tie, driving a nice car, and he knows that there's no chance. In fact, when she sees her loser boyfriend who knocked up his girlfriend, it's just going to make him look better in her eyes. That's one possibility. Or he's testing you, and he doesn't want you to do that, and he's hoping you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but only she, I mean, if she knows her boyfriend and how he is in their relationship, if he's super secure in everything, then that wouldn't even be like a red flag to her. If he's always like that, where he's just confident and secure in their relationship, that's not something that would throw her off.
Perhaps. And that can be attractive too. I get that.
And if it's unlike him, like if you're like, what? Then maybe it is like a hold up. Well, why'd you give me that pass?
Still, I say nothing good comes from reaching out to the ex. Then, zero.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who says if it's nagging.
But what in your scenario, what good comes from it?
What?
You say that she should reach out to him. What good comes from doing that?
She has it off her conscience.
Like, does she want to be the godmother or something?
Like right. Like, what's on her conscience?
Yeah, she should have nothing on her conscience.
Okay, wait. You spend 10 years with someone, and all of a sudden they're supposed to be nothing to you when something significant happens?
He was bad to her all those years. She said it.
All those years. Yeah.
He was pretty bad to me all those years. I said
this
guy sucks.
She finally got the guts to leave him.
Okay, I apologize. I missed that line. Don't ever talk to that dirtbag again.
Yeah, like she finally got the courage to leave a bad situation.
You're right, you're right.
You leave the bad situation.
Okay, unanimous.
You're going forward. Your road is going forward to the north. Going south just takes you back.
You open that door again, you don't know what's going to come through it.
Okay. Right. Okay. I'm on the same page.
It's like Monica Geller's closet.
Yeah.
That's right.
Whatever. Yeah.
I know.
The one that's locked.
Yeah.
Don't unlock it.
Bike's going to hit you in the face.
Wow. That was a heated debate.
You know, it feels good to be on the winning side of it.
That was fun.
If she hadn't said, I mean, I know this is a moot point because she did say it, but if the part about him being bad to her, like let's say it was great, would y'all still say don't reach out? Or
yes.
If it was like it just ended because what?
I would still say don't reach out because I don't see what possible good comes out of that.
Yeah, like I would say maybe if they had a death in the family and just like, hey,
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I think maybe if there was, but having a child, like that's a blessing. Like, congrats. Like he doesn't need your congrats. Like
a baby.
But who knows? They broke up. She might've changed her mind. She might've found the love of his life. And now he's like, I'm so happy to have this baby. And then the ex texts him and she's like, I'm so sorry you're having a baby. And he's like, F you. I'm happy about this.
I'm saying if something significant happened in Robert's life, I would reach out and say, hey, I just wanted to check in and see if you're okay. And it not mean anything other than I'm checking in because first of all, I care. Like, we were friends and then had this relationship, and I care about him as a human being and want to see that he's okay.
Okay. And 95P might be cool with that, but how about Robert's partner? How are they going to feel about that?
I don't know. I don't think 95P would be cool with that.
There you go.
Just going to throw that
there
out there.
You go.
I don't think so.
You're right about that.
So that's two relationships potentially harmed by reaching out.
But if 95P said, hey, you got the green light, go.
Then how does Robert's partner feel about this?
Correct.
You don't know.
You don't know.
You're right.
It's disrespectful to her.
All right. All right. And I'm very against disrespecting the current partner. So you're right. Okay, fine. We've come to the conclusion that under no circumstance should you reach out to your ex.
I will say, when I got married, I heard from two separate exes, congratulations, your wedding looked beautiful. And it made me feel very good, but it was also not necessary. Like I wouldn't have missed it if they didn't say anything. It did feel very good. And Allison was secure because she has to find a judge and an attorney to like get me to leave her, you know, like we just signed a legally binding contract. So she feels pretty secure. But two different exes said congrats. But also, I would have missed it if they didn't do that, you know?
Yeah. Feels good. Feels good being on this side of it. Yeah. Not going to lie.
Of the correct side? Mm-hmm. Well, that's like the first time it happened.
I know. Just let me live in this. Let me live in the bliss over here, okay? Let me swim in this pool for a minute.
All right. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to all of you. I was in the wrong here. It's a humble moment for me to say that, those words, but... One,
we all need it time to time again.
Gotta be grounded every now and then. On that note, reminder before we leave, go vote.
This is the last week.
Vote in the election as well. Two things you need to vote for this week.
Okay. Priority is to vote for the election. Oh. And just so you know, study up on what there is to vote for. It's not just the presidential candidates. There's so much that's important for you to know about of what's going on locally in our state, in our city. So
it's actually a lot. It's a lot of homework.
It is. And I think it's very, I've never paid so much attention to what I'm voting for this year. So do your research.
I have a tip that'll save you a lot of time.
What?
There are a lot of groups out there that tell you who to vote for in terms of their endorsements. Find somebody you trust. Find somebody you agree with, believe in their cause, and they'll tell you boom, boom, boom. It'll save you a lot of time because those propositions are complicated and really oddly written. So
I know, not even complicated, but also like, you know, you see the commercials for them and they like, they're obviously so skewed one way that they're like, this is totally not an example, but this is like an example of just the like mind bender that they give you. It'll be like, do you want your, you know, kids to go to a safe school? Do you want your kids to learn great? And you're just like, yes, yes. Then vote, you know, vote yes on Prop 10 to build a windmill in Lake Palisades for $1 million. It's going to cost you $5,000 a year. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
That was a terrible analogy, but like that's how like...
No, but you're right. And then the next commercial break, it says, do you want your taxes going up by 25%? Prop 10 is going to put me out of business. Vote no on Prop 10. It's the same
right.
prop.
Right.
But the commercials really swing you one way to the other, to the other. So yeah, I say go with an expert.
I would have voted for Marx if we were going between those two examples, if I'm being honest.
One I know,
more
I wasn't...
confident than the other.
I know. I didn't have my pitch down right, but...
Well, obviously, vote in the election. Please make that a priority. And second, vote for the People's Choice Awards. We're up against some heavy hitters.
We're going to be popping in the Scrubbing In Instagram. And if you guys send your screenshots, like DM it to the Scrubbing In Instagram, you just might be getting some videos being like, hey, thanks for the vote. We love you.
Yeah, we're going to be doing that this week because it is the last week to vote. So really get your emails ready. My mom, I think this is the first year that my family's like actually voted consistently every day. So
my family, my mom is making sure everybody in Serbia is voting.
The whole country
is
voting.
Serbia as a whole united is voting daily. So we have that going for us.
Yeah, so I'm already just so thankful because I know I see it every day that y'all are voting for us and in the Facebook groups.
I know. Actually, I really do see it because I'll put the swipe up link and like the amount of swipe ups that I see, it's like actually quite beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's encouraging. It's not like five. It's like thousands.
Yeah, that's great news. All right. And don't forget about our virtual live event. The website is on locationlive.com. So you can... buy tickets and be a part of it. It's going to be so much fun. Our virtual live parties around the PCAs are always just the best. Obviously, we wish we could do it in person, but alas.
There's always next year.
Yeah. We love you guys. We will be here next week. And
you know what? We might be a different person next week.
Yeah, well, that happens. Yeah. We might be better or we might be in some mud, but either way, you'll be on sturdy ground soon.
Yeah. And the thing is we'll be back. Because you know what? We never give up.
That's right. We never give up. So we'll keep showing up.
We'll be back.
That's all you have to do. That's what we have to do as hosts on this podcast. And that's what we all have to do in life is just keep showing up.
Just keep showing up.
We love you guys.
We love you.
Bye. Bye.